Support for TortureCast is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TortureCast at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TortureCast. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
Hey everybody, it's Thursday, October 21st, 2021, and this is episode 243 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook. Of course, if you're not on Facebook, you're listening to this on a podcast, maybe YouTube, whatever. You can find all of our stuff at torturecast.com. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today, it's taken a week for everyone to calm down a little bit, but Eric is with us today. How you doing, Eric?
No, he didn't go. Was that so hard? That's all Gabe Morales had to do. Put his arms to the side and say, no, he didn't go. But hey, nope, now we're sitting here talking about things. No, I'm all right. I'm licking my wounds. It's a week later, so it's not as raw. How you doing over there?
I'm doing okay. You know, part of it was a scheduling conflict. I had some stuff. Eric had stuff. Willie had stuff. It's hard to sync up our work schedules and podcasting schedules, especially during the postseason, because we kind of recorded irregular times. I do want to start off the show for those tuning in live and those listening. We are not in any way blaming the series loss on the call. We're not. Let us be clear. Okay. I think I've had a lot of Dodger friends come to me saying basically quit bitching, you know, quit complaining about it. That didn't cause the loss. They're right, but I'm not bitching about them losing because of the call. I'm bitching just because baseball fans in general, and certainly Giants fans, did not see a proper conclusion to the game. And I think that's the big thing. If it happened in the fifth inning, you know, like for example, Chris Bryant, right? I mean, he had two balls. They were the two worst calls all game, according to the ump scorecard. And that's what's really odd about it, because he had an overall good game, a very good game. But the two worst calls were in the same at bat, and Chris Bryant would have walked, and he would have had runners on first and second with nobody out. And that completely changes the complexion of that inning. Doesn't mean the Giants were going to score. Of course not. But it significantly increased their chances of scoring and put Urias under, you know, a high stress inning. And who knows how the game goes from there? Maybe the Giants grind into a double play and nothing happens from it. My point is, no one really talks too much about that because it happened in the middle of the game. Everyone's talking about the check swing because it was the last out of the game. Look, crap happens. Umpires are human. We just got to live with it. I know Dodger fans are, you know, the first thing they do is they point to the rough check swing and say, we're even, it's karma. Well, first of all, karma has something to do with you getting paid back for doing something. The Giants didn't do anything. It was the umpires who blew that rough call. And by the way, in that at bat, they blew a 2-0 call that would have been 3-0. Most likely, Ruff would have walked anyway, and they would have been in the same position. But Dodger fans are only focusing on the check swing that was a strike three that he called, you know, a ball, and he walked, and that was the tying run. And that's the other thing. That was the tying run, not the winning run, not the go-ahead run. It was the tying run. And they're saying it cost them the division. It was in July. They had, like, freaking 4 months to make up that game. Yep. And they had so many opportunities and they didn't cash in. I don't know. Mike Tauchman's catch, right? You get Flores's home run off of Jensen. You get Cody Bellinger throwing the ball away. You get Turner throwing the ball away, pulling him off first. So Posey's safe. There's so many other things that Dodger fans can point to for the reason they lost the division by one run, but no, they got to point to the rough check swing and say, we're even. And I'm sick of it because it is not apples to apples at all. in any way, shape, or form.
It's just it's so funny. You need to find some better Dodger fans, because the guys I've been talking to are all like, "Oh man, that sucked the way that game ended." You know, you guys got not that we think you would have won, but you guys got hosed from a fair shot and stuff like that. You know, that's kind of the feedback I've been getting so far. Is and then from non-Dodger fans, everybody's just pissed that a series that was this intense and a game that was this intense ended on a freaking check swing. It's just so unsatisfying for any baseball fan watching. And honestly, it's probably part of the reason I haven't watched baseball in a week.
Yeah, it just was an unsatisfying feeling, because let's, again, be clear, we're not blaming the check swing call on the Giants' loss. The Giants hit 182 as a team, 211 on base percentage, 514 OPS. All marks were the lowest of all postseason teams that played more than one game, right? You know, I don't count the Cardinals for one game, right? They were 3-for-25 with runners in scoring position. I mean, they just crapped the bed. They scored 10 runs in five games, and four of those runs were game one when Logan Webb dominated, right? Six of the 10 runs were scored via solo home run, and then the other four were sac fly, RBI single, and two RBI groundouts. So the Giants just didn't produce when they needed to. And they had some traffic. They didn't have a ton, but they had some traffic and just didn't cash in. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, you go up and down the lineup, and we'll dive into it. But Chris Bryant was really the only guy who showed up. Buster, I got to say, showed up a little bit as well. But other than that, like you said, I mean, it's just up and down the lineup. We've got Flores, 083. Ruff, 091. Lamont, 100. Longoria, 118. I mean, I don't want to harp on one guy who, had he actually come through at one point, making a difference because he won game three.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were definitely plenty of times where Longoria could have helped move a runner along or keep an inning going, and it just didn't happen. So, I mean, the Giants were outplayed. They were absolutely outplayed by the Dodgers. They scored six runs in four games, and if you score six runs in four games, you deserve to lose. And with that, I'm sure Willie is absolutely happy that he has joined us, as we are already in mid-funeral mode. How you doing over there, Willie?
Join the group therapy, Willie.
Yeah, that's what I figured was going to be happening when I popped in.
I already threw shit all over the place. You know.
Yeah. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna assume, have you guys already talked about the check swing, or
it's what we just started. Okay, well, okay. Let me just rewind real quick. I'm not gonna
start with that. I just don't want to like cover ground that's already been covered.
No, you're good.
Basically, we just started out with kind of a disclaimer, saying in no way, shape, or form is this podcast saying that the Giants lost because of the check swing. But two things can be equally true. The Giants were outplayed and should have lost the series. But at the same time, we can still be pissed, as any general baseball fan was, that the actual conclusion, the real conclusion of the series, was not seen. We just didn't see how it actually was going to end.
I think this is one of those things where it's very few things that happen in professional sports where everybody can agree. And it always comes down to this, though. Everybody can agree except for the fans of one team. This is always how it is. I mean, look, everybody can agree the Astros cheated except Astros fans. They can't. They can't. They will not. You know, they just won't admit it. Whatever. They're always going to find an excuse. Dodgers fans are finding all the excuses in the world. But I've never seen all of our baseball all collectively, like every fan of every team was like, that was horseshit. What the hell was that? So, you know, that was like the one thing about that I'll say. It doesn't matter if the call was right or wrong. It just matters that that's the call that should be made at that time. Anyway, it's very similar to a lot of people talked about the Galarraga call in the perfect game.
For the perfect game.
Yeah, you need to be 100% sure to make that call, right?
Yeah.
There's no way he was. No way.
I mean, there was. I want to play a little John Boy here in a second, just about a minute and a half. Because
John Boy, I love his fucking hilarious. Yeah. But here's my overall take from all of it is that the Giants bats decided to go cold at the absolute worst time of the season.
Yeah.
The Dodgers pitching is obviously, you know, incredible. They literally didn't have to go to a fourth starter because they. You know, that's just the way they were able to just up and down. I mean, the second guy or whatever in that game was like insane. And the Giants pitchers were, you know, we didn't have a lot of pitchers we could trust. So basically just like this, just all of the things kind of came together to say, nah, sorry, it's not going to happen for you this year. Mm-hmm. That being said, it doesn't take away from an incredible season. It would have been really nice not to have to play the second best team in baseball in the very first, you know, series. That might have made this a deeper run. But going away from the season, you know, I talked about this on Twitter. Like, the one thing that I can say is that I'm incredibly excited for, you know, the next 5-10 years or whatever. The mm-hmm. way that this Giants team kind of altered baseball in a way, I want to see the evolution of that. So as sad as it is to just go out in one series, you know, we went full five. You know, we went as far as we could go in one series. Mm-hmm. And we clearly showed that we belong. You know, we took the prohibitive favorites of everybody to five games where every other series ended in four, right? So, you know, clearly we competed. Well, we were
not
there.
Not just five games, literally the last out of the last inning of the last game. I mean, it was
one
down
to one,
to the wire.
And then 1-1, and then we somehow give up a hit to a 175 hitter or whatever. Yeah, like, you know, yeah. I mean, that's maybe he was an MVP at one point, but this year he hit one whatever. So, I mean, look, yeah, he somehow found the magic, and we didn't find the magic, right? And then you look at the Braves that walk off in game two, like, we hit a lot of balls up the middle weekly that didn't go through. Somehow theirs got through. You know what I mean? This is just baseball. This is how it works. Like, we hit a lot of balls hard right at people in that series. And we could talk a lot about the bats not showing up. You have to talk about that a little bit because the Giants did have a lot of hard hit balls that went right into Dodger gloves. It happened a bunch of times. And I'm trying to think in my head, what were the other Dodger errors outside of Turner's in the ninth inning of game five? Like, did they didn't really have a lot of mistakes in the field either. They played pretty clean baseball for five games, right? So it's another thing. It's like, that was one of the things the Giants did all season was they played the clean baseball, took advantage of the other team's errors. When I saw that Turner booted ball in the ninth inning, I thought, oh, well, there you go. The Giants are going to win the game. That's how this works, right? Oh, Lamont Wade is up. Oh, the Giants are going to win this game.
I mean, especially when you saw Lamont, you know, late night Lamont. I mean, I know it was clearly foul and it didn't quite have home run distance, but it was little things like that where, like, the moment he hit it, you're like, bleh! Oh, never mind.
Yeah, foul, yeah. Right? When he hit it, I thought, there it is.
You just expected good stuff to happen. And, you know, look, we keep pointing to how, you know, the Giants hit half of what the Dodgers did and their pitching wasn't quite as good. But the reality was all of that damage was really concentrated in two games, right? The 7-2 and the 9-2 loss. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, you can't say other than that, but that's the whole reason it was tied is because game one, Logan Webb, freaking stud muffin that he is, shuts him out 4-0 behind three home runs. And then, of course, you know, Alex Wood and company with one solo shot take care of him 1-0. And then they have two laughers, and then we find themselves 2-2 going down again to the last inning with the winning run at home plate. And it, like you said, they just ran out of magic. They just didn't – they needed that one more hit, that one more they just needed it, and they didn't quite have it. And then, of course, the last strike was taken away. But, you know, the reality was Flores was 0-for-17 career versus Scherzer.
Well, he looked outmatched, right?
He did. Yeah,
like he went wild. Down. It was a when they say a quick 0-2, that was a quick 0-2.
Well,
like,
and
you hear that all the time. You're like, of course it's quick. It's 0-2. You know, but
let me play the John Boy because I'm going to join it midstream. I'm not going to play all the Dodger runs, but this is when Scherzer comes in and he covers all this. If you guys haven't seen it, so this is from John Boy. This is his breakdown of the check swing at the end of the game.
Let's go as we've had in a 30-second span, and then in the bottom of the ninth, up comes the psychopath. Max Scherzer for his first career save gets the first out there.
Yeah, that was another one.
Now,
Crawford hit
a ball in
a
play.
Nice little
JT.
Ball there.
Yep.
Yeah, right. You know, maybe his left arm is hurting him from getting hit by that pitch.
It's their only error in the whole series.
Or maybe
this
just
Turner.
Was it? Okay. See, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't remember another one.
The Giants going to use it. Late night, Lamont up, one of the best hitters in the ninth inning this season. That's a real thing. Sits on that breaking ball by Scherzer 1-0. Gets himself in a good count, 2-0, and Max drops the 78-mile-per-hour little curveball on the outside to get the strike. Then they're going to bust him back in, and he's going to hammer it, and he's got a walk-off home run as he did it. No.
That was 2 inches more over the plate. Run, I think it's
ball, and everyone hopes up, busts him in again, swing mode,
I can't
and
then believe he's going to drop again. This.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
Four.
And then that didn't have to be a strike.
That's a good pitch that we don't know if he did it on purpose, but
Robo probably calls it
amazing.
Right?
Oh yeah,
strikes out Lamont. And
it
now
was just a horrible frame job.
Go,
Webb was getting that pitch all game too.
Yeah,
that pitch. It's a nice pitch. Kenley's excited. He's excited. Usually he does the saving, but Scherzer's got it.
This is the first pitch I think Wilmer regrets. Up.
First pitch gets one.
Wilmer's like, why did I just like yank that out of here?
Pull the trigger on this one. Let's watch it again.
You can see his front leg, too. Just like,
good.
Looking fastball.
One.
He's looking fastball, exactly.
Next pitch. Yep. Fouls that one back in the zone. Now, one strike away from the Giants season being over, and the panic is settling in, and we're scared. We're just very scared. 0-2 pitch. Did he? They check, and he says he went, and the first base coach is like, are you serious? And Gabe Morales says, yeah, he swung.
He's like, what?
And the moment
I was so sure it wasn't a swing that I turned away from the television to step into the kitchen.
Sure.
Just not a swing. I was like,
oh. Yeah.
Just didn't attempt at that. I mean, thought about it for a second, not a swing. And this guy's like, what? Whoa, what? That's how it's all going to end.
Where am I?
And, no, that guy's just
a really weird way. After the game, Gabe Morales said, the plate umpire appealed the check swing to me. I thought he went, so I called it a swing. Check swings are one of the hardest calls we have.
Not that one.
I don't have the benefit of multiple camera angles when I'm watching it live. When it happened live, I thought he went. So that's why I called it.
You got to be sure.
It's a little speculative, but you can kind of infer that says when I watched it live, I thought he went, that maybe when he watched the replay, he doesn't fully agree. Maybe if he watched the replay,
tiny
agreed,
thought
he
his little
said,
tiny
I
brain.
Stand by my call. He said, went.
All right.
Also, an umpire saying, I don't have the benefit of multiple camera angles. Well, in watching it live, MLB, you can offer that to the umps to help them make better calls and just review everything. Either way, Scherzer sees the call. He's
all right. We can turn it from there. Yeah.
We can turn it. I don't need to watch Scherzer become a freaking maniac again.
No.
But you know, that is the dumbest thing ever. Like, why is that like a non-review? Like, why do they go like, hey, we'll make review, but some things we won't. And so then it's like, oh, cool. So now we can all just bitch and moan every time a non-reviewable thing is what makes the game, you know, like not go the way it was supposed to. Like, that's it's so stupid. It's
part crazy. Of it is that the check swing call is not even really defined in the rule book.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem.
As somebody who has had to make calls like this a thousand times in my life, the rule of thumb we were taught at umpire school by the major league umpires is if the bat head shoots past the front of home plate, it's a swing. If the bat head stays in the plane over the plate or before it, then it's not a swing. And obviously Gabe Morales didn't have the benefit of seven different camera angles and replays and thought that he went. So, I mean,
I think why is that not just in the rule book? Like if the bat breaks like a 90 degrees, then it's a swing. And then that's a very easy reviewable play. And in fact, you don't even have to appeal it to an umpire. You could appeal it to a camera. There could literally just be a camera pointed exactly at the batters from both sides. And then if there's ever a catcher goes, oh, did he swing? You just appeal to that thing. And it's like instant, you know, because I understand like they don't want to have some of these reviewable things be things that happen multiple times in a game, right? I think that might be the reasoning behind this. Oh, there's so many check swings in a game that you just want that to be a quick moment. You don't want to have to go to New York, right? Put headphones on. But it's so simple. It's a really easy fix. We already have the cameras there.
Yeah, I have no idea. No idea why there's no cut and dried rule in the rule book. I really don't. I wish there was. It is one of those kind of calls and things that you throw your hands up and you're like, well, I guess that's it. Because even as an umpire, you're taught if it's delayed or if you're not sure, you can't call a swing. Yeah. If you're asked too late or if you're not sure, you have to call safe because you cannot punish somebody because you're not sure. And Gabe Morales decided to insert himself in the conversation.
He just went boom and started walking out of the field. And I was like, wow, dude, you're just out of here, huh? Okay.
Let's go get dinner.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, like, in the NFL, we always harp on it too, especially during the playoffs. It's like, let them play, right? You only make those calls if it's egregious or you're 100% certain. Like you are, there's no doubt he went around. And that wasn't even close. That wasn't even one of those like, the bat was kind of over the plate. It's 50-50. I mean, that was just like a no doubter. And the fact that he just reacted with the strike, it's like, dude, there's no way you actually thought that was a swing. I mean, like, there's just no way.
It was shocking. It was like, I can't remember seeing that. I can't remember the last time I saw.
No.
Like, because I've seen them call it not a swing where I'm like, whoa, he definitely went there. That happens a lot, right? But I think for the reasons you were saying, Eric, it's like, you got to call him safe unless you know. It was just really weird. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. You just don't. Okay. Yeah. It's like you just don't care, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's what happened with Ed Hickox on the Darren Ruffcheck swing earlier in the year. I think Ed really just wasn't sure. And it's just funny to me that, you know, nobody remembers Ed Hickox's name, but everybody's going to remember Gabe Morales' name.
Gabe Morales, baby. Yep. I know.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, it was every fan base. It was 29 fan bases and the Dodgers fans. The Dodgers fans were... They love talking about Ed Hickox and Darren Ruff right now. They just can't get enough. Like, they remember that game so clearly.
They think it's karma and payback, and I'm like, it's not even the same thing. But
two wrongs don't make it right, in my opinion. Yeah, just two bad calls. It's too bad. They're both bad calls. But whatever. Yeah. But I do think, it's like there was one umpire who did the thing that he was taught, and another umpire who, wanted to go. I don't know. Maybe he had a date that night. I don't really. Yeah. I mean. He was out of there, dude. Like he was ready to go. But it's funny how much the call for robo umpires is just being like amplified in these playoffs right now.
Right.
There's just been so many bad calls and so many games where, you know, it's the focal point, and nobody should be talking about umpires, man. We should be talking about baseball.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about umpires anymore.
That's a problem. And we'll move on from it. But just like you guys already said, you know, most of the national media, I mean, they weren't like, they just didn't mention it. People went on and on. People who had no skin in the game were like, this needs to stop. I mean, baseball as a sport and as a tradition and as a theater that has given us so many dramatic moments for, you know, playoffs. I mean, hell, the Dodgers have their own with Kirk Gibson, right? The guy was overmatched by Dennis Eckersley hobbling up there with bad legs. You're going to tell me that if he had a check swing with two strikes that was called a strike, that Dodger fans wouldn't have been pissed off, not knowing what could have happened? I mean, I'm not saying Wilmer Flores is in that situation, would have hit a home run. I'm just saying that there's a lot of these moments that were improbable that happen in all of sports. And that's why we love sports. We love to see stuff like this. Yeah. And we were robbed of any potential of that happening. Would it have happened? Probably not.
I want to see Scherzer bust him high and tight on the next pitch and him swing through 100% more than I wanted to see that, right?
Like, if the next pitch he looks like a fool in strike three, you're like, okay, that's the end of the game.
He probably
that's
was. It. Probably was.
And he probably
in a,
was.
In a 1-2 count. You know, Scherzer had many options at that moment, right? I mean, he was dominating
he
at
was
that point.
He was a beast.
And
he was a beast.
Well, the interesting thing is it really highlighted the Giants' approach at the plate for the entire season. And if we're going to get into why they lost the series, it's their approach at the plate during this playoff run. I mean, there never seemed to be any adjustments. They did definitely do the stick with what brung you, and nobody hit. I mean, Chris Bryant was the only guy who really seemed to come through. I mean, we look at these. I was listing off names earlier of guys who were 0 for this and 0 for that. And you know who I forgot? Mike friggin' Yastrzemski.
0 for 12, 0 for 11, something like that?
0 for 13.
Oh, 13.
He kept getting the starts, too. And then just going out there and doing nothing. That being said, though, I talked a lot about how Bryant was the only one who didn't have that approach, right? And then in the playoffs, he kept getting. But here's the thing. He had the one home run and a bunch of little dinky singles. It wasn't like he was up there just torching the ball. You know what I mean? Like he had some ground balls that had eyes, essentially. I thought, honestly, Crawford was hitting the ball harder than he was. Crawford got nothing to show for it, really. I mean, he had some hits, but he had a lot of situations where I was like, yo, dog, you just missed that. But I mean, look, I don't think that the Giants should have adjusted their approach. I just think what happened is the Dodgers just didn't walk them like the same way that everybody else did the entire season. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Dodgers threw strikes.
They had, you know, whatever, five home runs, six home runs, and they were all solo shots, right?
They all had no traffic. Where are the three run bombs? That's what we needed.
They had nothing like that, and that really did hurt them. And that, you know, look, that's what carried them, part of what carried them to 107 wins was the home run ball. But at the same time, you live by the long ball, you die by the long ball, because in a short series, that's what happens, right? You point to anywhere in the regular season where they lost 4 out of 5 or, you know, 7 out of 12 or whatever it may have been. And I guarantee you their home runs were way down in those games. And it's just, it happens in a short series, especially, I mean, come on, it's the Dodgers. They had some of the best pitching in the league. So you get good pitching and maybe a slump, or it was just neutralized. Either way, the home runs just didn't really come. They averaged what, one a game and no traffic. And they were 3 for 25 with runners in scoring position. So and hardly any walks. So the Dodgers really buckled down when they needed to. And that was the difference in the series. So.
Yeah, it reminded me of like the Pittsburgh series from this year, the Washington Nationals series from this year, one of the Cardinals series from this year, where they just couldn't seem to get it going. You remember the various times during the season, everybody freaked out. What's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with the offense? And then the next week, they'd score 9 runs and everybody wouldn't, you know, care, and everybody would have forgotten about it. The problem is you don't have those next week of games. And the Dodgers, like you said, I mean, there is a point where you tip your cap. The Dodgers played better baseball. I mean, like, look at the games that the Giants won. Yeah, 4-0 in game one, Logan Webb dominated, but they barely eked by in game three. It wasn't a collective, you know, putting the bats together. It was one swing by Evan Longoria and one catch by Brandon Crawford that basically won the game for them. So, I mean, looking at it from that perspective, the Giants were lucky to even get to a game five because the Dodgers flat out outplayed them the entire series. And it's frustrating because it's the Dodgers and it hurts extra little bit. But, you know, we've hit all the reasons. The Giants just didn't do the things that they needed to do. And I mean, we could rehash everything. Camilo Duvall, I mean, we brought it up right before the show. What happened to his fastball? Where did his fastball go? Why did he suddenly have the inability to throw the fastball? And why couldn't they even throw it as a show me pitch? You know,
when he threw it, he hit
right Justin Turner.
Well, yeah. that's what they were. What, 13 out of 16 pitches were sliders, and yeah, after he hit Turner, they just went away from it.
I gotta be honest, I don't know why we needed him for 2 innings in that one game. I think we had plenty of options, you know what I mean?
Like, I agree there too.
We have to give him that much of a like it's like Rob is the Rob Nen thing. It's like, did we have to kill his arm to try to win this World Series? I don't think we did, dude.
I mean, look, we can go
to other people. But look, I'm going to disagree with Eric, though, real quick. The Dodgers did not outplay the Giants all series. The Dodgers outplayed the Giants in 3 games. The Giants definitely outplayed the Dodgers in 2 games. Like, at that point, it was 2-2 for very good reasons. Yes, the 2 games the Dodgers won, they won by more. But that doesn't mean they outplayed us all series. Like, we outplayed the shit out of them in games 1 and 3. I'm sorry. Like, the Giants were just... They were like the dominant version of the Giants in those 2 games. We didn't score a lot. We gave them 0 runs to the Dodgers. The Dodgers got shut down twice this series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
it was a very
good series. You can look back at overall stats, but it was 2-2, a true 2-2 after 2 games. It was the Giants were better in 2 games. The Dodgers were better in 2 games. Let's go to game 5. That's what it was. I will never say that the Dodgers outplayed us the entire series. No,
we brought that up.
3 games out of 5, which is
the stats are bloated in the sense of most of their hits and runs came in 2 games, right?
Yeah,
not 4 games.
But I mean, when you go down a little bit, and then you just start using whoever out of the bullpen, you know, like obviously, like they poured it on, we didn't. So,
but you know, look. Got to look at what this team did. Set a franchise record for wins. 107. Guys, not only were we thinking 70-something wins this year. I know Eric, 88, which was like one of the highest I heard from anyone on the planet. To 107, setting a franchise record, right? Winning the West, dethroning the Dodgers after they won the West 8 consecutive years. And putting it to the Dodgers all the way to the last strike of the last at-bat of the last inning to the point where... We hurt. It's been a week. We're getting over it. And I know the Dodgers aren't out yet. Last year, they did come back from a 3-1 deficit against these same Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for them to do that 2 years in a row. I'm not saying they can't. Yeah, they are the Dodgers. But I got to tell you, I finally started watching a little bit of baseball the last couple of games, and the Dodgers look tired. Urias is giving it up. He's down to 91, 92 on his fastball. There's all this talk amongst Dodger fans going, the Giants took it out of us. Like, we're tired. The team is just beat. Yeah. And, again, they're not out yet. I will say, if the Braves can nail this down, and they got Max Fried going today, by the way, but then if they don't, they still got two shots at home. What do the Dodgers have to show for it? I mean, you know, like, the Giants won the West.
Neither did the Giants do. Nothing.
The Dodgers beat the Giants right. in the playoffs, but they didn't get a pennant for it. They didn't get a nice shirt for it. They didn't get a flag for it. Like, they just have the knowledge of it, right? Like, so, look.
Just another wild card team that went out of the play.
What I'm saying is going to be a little bit of salve on the wound, right? If the Braves can close it out. It'll be like, all right, Dodgers made it one series further, but they didn't win the pennant. They didn't go to the World Series. They didn't win the World Series.
It's Georgia can save this country once again.
I hate to be contrarian for a second. No, I don't. But I'm of the mindset, I wanted to see the Dodgers win it all, because then you get beat by the best. And it would have shown, especially if these series were less than seven games, and we know the Dodgers can't win this in less than seven, but it would have shown that the Giants were their toughest competition. Now, listening to you guys, I kind of agree that it already is being shown that the Giants were their toughest competition.
Yes, exactly. I felt like that in 2016 with the Cubs, right? Partially, I felt bad for them, and the fact that they won the whole thing. It was like, okay, well, they went through the Giants. The Giants lost to a really good team. I definitely would never feel that about the Dodgers, but I think that was already proven. The whole country was talking about this NLDS as the real World Series. It's the two best teams in all of baseball. So I think everyone recognizes that on paper. Even if the Braves beat the Dodgers, it's kind of like, you know, the Dodgers had a much tougher road than the Braves did. And the Giants took them, you know, wire to wire all the way down to the end. So, I definitely never wanted that. don't want that at all.
There's a little part of me that wanted to see the Dodgers go to the World Series again, and then the Astros just destroy them when, like, nobody can talk about, like, a cheating scandal. You know, it's like, it just go like, yeah, see, so shut the fuck up. That's kind of like,
I don't want them winning the pennant. I want them losing now. Get them out of there to an 88 win team, right?
But the real part of me just wants to see the Dodgers lose no matter what, anytime, anywhere. Let's go. I don't want to see them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that part's coming out of me now.
That's me all the time. Like,
it's just 100%. Every time I tune in, I'm looking, I see that the Dodgers are losing. I get happy, a little bit happy. I'm sad the Giants are not in it. I'm happy that the Dodgers are losing right now. It's great. I mean, that at least is, that's my consolation prize.
If it wasn't for Bellinger, they would have already been swept. So
that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Bellinger somehow, whatever. Who knows? Baseball's weird. I'm going to say this real quick, though. This is my last, like a little thing about the I think a mistake the Giants made in this series. I thought Ruff leading off was hilarious. I thought Ruff hitting second was so dumb. I want to, like, Ruff needs to, if you're not going to bat him, he should be batting fifth or sixth if you're putting him in the lineup. Because when he's up, and obviously, too, let's be real, La Stella being hurt was a big problem. I really like La Stella was becoming a little Scudero, a little mini Scudero. But Ruff hits that home run with nobody on base, man. Because who's going to be on base when it's the pitcher? Then injured La Stella, who comes out of the game, and it's Donovan Solano instead. And then Ruff nuts that ball, and it's a solo shot. I think this was a huge deal. I did not like the lineup management in the series. I thought we did a lot of weird stuff. Like, I like Kapler's approach with the lefty-righty stuff, but some of the spots he put these guys in was just weird, man. And it's like, Ruff is clearly the guy hitting the ball the hardest. Why is he hitting second when he's just going to, he's not going to have a chance to hit the three-run ball? I don't know, whatever. It's a little thing, but it's just, it really bothered me. It really bothered me that day.
It was working most of the year. I mean, leadoff. I know second's a little different, but you get guys like Mookie Betts hitting first. I know he's fast and all that, but he's got some pop.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie Betts is incredible.
Yeah, he's a five-tool player. Yeah,
guy was unbelievable. I mean, it was amazing that the Giants were able to keep pitching around him in game five. You know, that was like the game plan. Okay, let Mookie do whatever he's going to do and pitch around him. And I mean, they couldn't do it for a fourth time. That's really where it came back to bite them. I mean, Mookie got on base again, and he just...
Yeah, he was 4-for-4 that game. He was just on fire. And, Camilo Duvall, look, we talked about at the beginning of the season when he gave up those bombs to Colorado earlier, and we recognized his talent and his speed and all that, and we said he's going to be back at some point. A little sooner than we all thought, NL reliever of the month for September, didn't allow a single run through all the month. And into the postseason, never allowed a single run all the way up until his final appearance.
Until one run that he allowed.
Yeah, it just took that one run to eliminate the Giants. But you can't blame the kid. I mean, he was amazing.
Giving it one that whole time is it's a fantastic postseason. I mean, Logan Webb gave up one and whatever 17. Like, well, it really sucks. We got robbed of seeing Logan Webb have like three more starts in the playoffs, because could he have been like Bumgarner levels of special? Right.
Right.
Giving him one run in an entire postseason or whatever. We will never know, obviously. But like what I'm saying is, like, if Ruff's home run is a three-run shot, the Giants win that game. What I mean? But
no doubt.
God damn, just couldn't have anybody on base.
Solo shots. Dodgers are like, go ahead. One,
I know. So these are the things that are sticking with me, is like, and this is why baseball is so fascinating, is it's something so small, like, what if Ruff batted four guys down? Or what if, you don't pitch Camilo two innings, in an earlier game and maybe wear his arm out just a little? Because you're right. Like, what the hell happened? Why couldn't he throw a fastball? Something. There was something there. And obviously you could say, the Dodgers are good fastball hitters. Well, they weren't when he had his first appearance. he mowed them down, right? So all of a sudden they're like, it was just – Buster was just putting down the number two over and over and over, and I was like, why? And they're gonna figure it out eventually, and they did.
Belly was right on it. I just want to remind everyone, support for TorchCast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TORTUREcast at manscaped.com. And I showed this last week, but we all got our little lawnmowers, and they're complete with even a little light there at the end. So you can even shave in the dark. Little after dark grooming. No, I'm just kidding. These work really well, guys. I highly suggest you check it out.
Definitely always shave your balls in the dark, guys.
I mean, you can try to do this. Maybe you can put a little tape over the light and then see what happens, but highly advise against it.
To be fair, you're not going to get
and stuff, right? So you don't have to go down to skin. So
that's what I was going to say. So you're not going to get cut, because the lawnmower actually works well enough that it's not going to hurt you. So if you choose to do it in the dark, should be safe, but we do not recommend it. We don't recommend it. This is not an endorsement of shaving in the dark.
So, once again, 20% off and free shipping with the code TORTUREcast at manscaped.com. Your balls. Well, thank you. I don't know if they really will, but you can imagine that. But
pipe down.
Anywho, did you guys watch the end of the season press conference?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
you did. So what were your overall impressions, Eric?
The one thing that jumped out at me, and I mentioned this to you earlier, is the fact that they highlighted starting pitching so much and didn't talk about Chris Bryant so much made me think that they might be going in a different direction than that. And that's kind of what jumped out at me. But I do appreciate that the big highlight was saying that they want to re-sign Buster, that they want Buster back. They want him to be the core. I think a year ago, all three of us could not have sat here and thought that Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford would both be back. And it looks like that's what the Giants want to do. Right. I was ready to trade Crawford, bench Crawford, whatever, before the season started. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And
you know, he went a completely different direction. So what I took away, though, was that Farhan, as much as he goes with his system, he is willing to look at the clubhouse. And by wanting Buster and Crawford there to lead the way, I really liked it. It gave me some more hope for the future. But like I said, the fact that Chris Bryant seems to not be a priority definitely stuck out to me.
I honestly think if you're Farhan, you can't talk about how much you want Chris Bryant back. Like this just highlighted how much of like a smart ass nerd Farhan is to me. When I was watching this, I was just like, he's just saying all the right things. Cause you do not want to build the market on Bryant. You want to just do your thing in the background. And everyone was trying to get that out of him. There were so many questions about it. And he's like, well, we'll see. We'll have conversations. Right. These conversations will happen. But yeah, you don't want to be going, oh, we must get this guy back. We have to have him. And then all of a sudden, Scott Boros walks in like, hey, so I hear you must have my client back. Like, you know, Buster's a different situation. You can give him all the praise in the world. Everyone loves him. But you're right. I was surprised to see how much they were like, yeah, dude, Buster, we want that guy. Yeah. If you're Joey Bart, you're going, well, should I play first or what? Like, what am I doing here? Like,
right?
What do I got to do to get on this team?
Trade bait.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going, you look like a starting pitcher to me, but a different guy. That's what you look like. So, yeah, I mean, I think honestly, at this point, I'm even thinking like Brandon Belt kind of makes a little sense. And then we start filling out the young stuff around in the outfield. You know what I mean? That's where we're looking. And like Lamont Wade obviously looks like a guy you can try to get a full season out of and get some more magic out of. And you start thinking about Chris Bryant. You go, that's a lot of money on one player, bro. We could get like four guys with the Chris Bryant money. And they could all be guys we move around. And they're the pieces that we've been doing all year. And then if we're in a position next year, then we trade for a guy like Bryant. You know what I mean? Like as much as I was high on him when we got him, and obviously, I mean, when we were his stats in the postseason, he had like a 500 average and 1.147 OPS. I mean, yeah, you do want a guy like that.
For sure.
That being said, he's going to be very cost prohibitive.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, his regular season stats after he joined the Giants were okay. They certainly weren't stellar. Wasn't anything that a couple of platoon guys that Farhan seems to create out of nowhere can't almost match for a lot.
280 and 27 out of two platoon guys, right?
You know? But you know what he did in the playoffs obviously speaks a lot of volumes. But you know, Bryant had a weak year the year before in 2020, I guess. I know it was a shortened season. But look, they have Logan Webb, and then they have they have no one. They have no one locked up
for
their starting rotation. And he made it very clear that their rotation is the number one priority right now. And that was such a big part of their success this year. Yeah, their bullpen really came around after the first month and ended up leading the league in most categories. But their starters were still like number 2 to 3 in the league. And, you know, they got to try and get Gosman, maybe go after Wood and Disco again. We'll see. Those guys are all free agents, and they've all expressed interest. But at the same time, I think that the chances of one team who has three free agents the year before getting all three back, that's not going to happen. There's no way.
No.
So they're going to have to, you know, I really hope they target Gosman and they get him, but he earned, you know, he was on the qualifying offer this year for 18.9. He's going to get more than that.
Yeah, he's going to be a 20 million guy. Yeah.
And that's what's crazy about it, right? Like spending more than 20 million on Gosman. And then if they wanted to go after Disco,
like who do we go after? Like who?
They're going to have more of a contract command.
Do we try to get Scherzer? You know what I mean? Like,
it was interesting. I'm not saying this is what happened, but there's that shot of Larry Bear crossing the field at Oracle Park when Scherzer was out there drunk with his kids. And he went out there and shook his hand. And you just wonder, like, what did he say? You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you might like the weather in San Francisco here, you know?
I'm thinking about who's available as far as starting pitching, you know, and you're looking at a lot of guys who are like old and shit.
Yeah, but who thought Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood were going to come in and do the things they did? And I think that the success of those two specifically give Farhan the cojones to go after guys that are not necessarily at the top of the market, because he was able to take these guys and turn them into, like, basically all-star pitchers. I mean, Disco had a great run during the year at one time. Where did the stats go? Wood was a stopper. They were not losing games. If he pitched after a loss, they were winning all those games.
Very good. So he did in the playoffs too.
that game three. I mean, he shoved for his guts were all over the table. I think it speaks to what their philosophy can be going forward and why you don't have to spend $20 million on Kevin Gausman. I love Gausman, but was no need to take up a fifth or an eighth of the payroll, an eighth probably, of the payroll just for Kevin Gausman, because honestly, his track record is only two seasons long at this point, and one of them was a shortened season. So, you know, I think when they talk about pitching as the philosophy, they might try to do that, because this is the team that, you know, they're making pitchers money. So pitchers are going to see that and want to come here.
Yeah, they're total 2021 payroll, including minor league salaries and benefits, was 170. But if it's just the 40-man payroll for purposes of taxes, it was 152.5 this year. Right now for 2022, all they have committed is 64.7. I mean, they got, under the luxury cap, they got $83 million to spend. Obviously, they may not go all the way up to the luxury cap. But the point is, they got a lot of money to spend. But you're right, Eric. I mean, even if they wanted to go that high, $80 million, Gausman would take up a quarter of that right there.
Yep.
Boom.
I know.
You know, and it's like, oof, that's a little rough.
I actually like
that does include there, Buster Posey though at 22, which is his option, right? But obviously they're gonna probably buy out Johnny Cueto for $5 million because they're not gonna pay him 22.
No,
that's what his option is for. So yeah.
But I like what you said there though, like, yeah, I think it's the diamonds in the rough type of thing is what we're gonna be looking for the starting rotation again. Yeah, it's like Logan Webb. And then whoever we can check in there for not $30 million or whatever, right? I'm actually, like, I was looking at the free agents the other day. And there's a few guys that actually look very interesting to me. One is, what if the return of Duvall happened in the outfield for the Giants? I would like to see it a lot. And then the other was, if we don't go Brandon Belt, it was, what's the first base? What am I thinking of?
Anthony Rizzo.
Rizzo. That's a guy I like a lot. So, yeah, there's a couple guys out there where I'm like, the starting pitching, yeah, we could probably piece that together. But I would like to see the Giants. Yeah, if our core is going to be, again, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, We're gonna have to get somebody else, right? We're gonna need that third and fourth bat. So there's a couple interesting options out there. And Duvall doesn't apparently get paid that well. So I mean, I don't know if he will this year, but
right,
you know, I think his contract was like under $10 million before. So
yeah, I mean, and they got some older guys too. Like, you know, I wonder if they could take like a, well, see, Longo's still under contract, so they're not going to go after, and then they got Crawford locked up, right? So they're not going to go after.
So, I mean, the left side of the infield is, we got that worked out.
Yeah, because everyone's like going, oh, what about Correa or Seager or
but,
Story?
But yeah, it's Donovan like, Solano, you know, Tommy La Stella, are those the guys that we continue to, you know, and then the first baseman, is it Brandon Belt or do we go a different direction? I love the captain. But the captain can't play 162 games. Let's be real.
Never.
He never has. I know. And this year it was looking so good and he just couldn't.
It was another freak injury, though. I mean, Belt gets screwed with this stuff. He got concussed on a random ball. Right.
It's like, come on, bro. Catch the ball. Get out of the way of the ball.
So, like, you know, Atlanta's going to throw a truckload to Freddie Freeman, right?
Yeah. I don't think that's.
I mean, do you think, because, you know, Belt got 17 mil this year. He's probably going to be worth at least that. Freddie got 22 and a half. He's probably worth like 25 to 30. So does Farhan, you know, go, I'm going to spend 10 to 12 million more to try and get Freeman over Belt? I mean, I'm not saying Freeman would even want
Rizzo. Rizzo is better than I would rather have Rizzo than Freeman.
Yeah, Rizzo got 16 and a half this past year.
He, I mean, he'll probably get 20, right? But
yeah, 20,
25,
low 20s. No, probably 20. Not. Probably like 21, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, after that, you got Mitch Moreland, Ryan Zimmerman, who's retiring anyway. And that's about it. So there's, you know, you got Gurriel, but he's 37 years old. He's not going to be playing a good first base for you.
No. Duvall made $7 million last year.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm poking around spot rack.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have a lot of hot stove content, obviously. We'll really dive into this stuff because the playoffs are still happening. But we can talk, you know, real quickly about that as well. We just mentioned, of course, the Dodgers are down 3-1. God, it was so close to being a sweep. If it wasn't for Belly and that three run. By the way, the Dodgers were 0-83 when trailing by three or more in the eighth inning.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. In all-time playoff history, I could not believe such a stat. You got to figure Brooklyn had done it one time or something. And Belly went up and got a tough pitch. They just went to the well too often trying to get the high fastball by him. And I mean, the pitch was out of the zone. So
they said that was the highest and fastest pitch hit for a home run all year in all of Major League Baseball. It was like 4 feet, 2 inches, 90, whatever it was, 8 miles an hour. Basically, the expected home run or the home run expectation on that is next to zero. The fact that he went upstairs and drilled it is really rare too. So it was like a rare occurrence happening after a rare event for the Dodgers. And to be honest, I really was thinking 3-0 lead. And then when it became 2-1 and then the Braves switched their announced a starter like 2 hours before yesterday's game and Urias starting, I was like, oh man, Dodgers are going to tie this crap up. And they didn't. I mean, the Braves just absolutely murdered him. Urias looked horrible. He looks tired. He's just been used too much. And then they got Max Fried going today. So I'm hoping the Braves just cut the head off the snake today instead of going back to Atlanta.
But there's no likable teams left. There's no likable teams left. There just really isn't. I can't stand Houston for the cheating. I can't stand the Red Sox now because they've turned into the Yankees. I can't stand the Braves because of the chop. I can't stand the Dodgers because they're the fucking Dodgers. So, you know, I mean, it's no surprise that I really haven't watched much baseball in the past week because none of these teams interest me. I'm sure I'll watch the World Series because I'm a baseball fan above all else. But, I mean, this was – I don't know how the ratings are going, but this seemed like four of the teams that, like, everybody's going to hate watch.
Apparently, Game 5 of the Giants-Dodgers did really, really well because, I mean, that story was incredible, obviously, right?
Yeah, that whole series did great.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you a little bit. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. So after we had some really fun stories this season, it's going to come down to – the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Astros. You know, it's like, and I guess the Braves are the team that you kind of root for at this point because they're, you know, but the chop is the dumbest thing ever.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and their enthusiasm in doing it too, like just how much they seem to friggin' love it. But yeah, I don't know.
White people are crazy.
I'm rooting for the Astros, obviously, because of Ty. I want to see Ty be happy. I agree about the cheating, but that was 4 years ago. This isn't
This year, the only redeeming quality of the Astros for me personally is Dusty Baker. I love him. And
Dusty Baker.
He doesn't have that ring yet.
I mean, let's be real. The cheating manager is on the Red Sox right now. So,
well, and that's the funny thing is that Cora, who managed him, is the one who's managing the Red Sox now. It's just that. To me, the Astros will be tainted until every single person is off that team. Mm-hmm. You know, until that participated in Correa the cheating.
And
Altuve and Gurriel and, all these guys.
Although there's a really interesting video you guys should watch about Altuve. Apparently, Altuve literally said, shut the fuck up every time they banged the trash can when he was at the plate. There's a YouTube video about it. People poured through the footage or whatever, right? And you can actually see they bang it and then he shoots a glare into the dugout and is like, yo, no, I told you no. And then they don't bang anymore. And during his at bats, which also kind of means that whoever was in charge of that wasn't really paying attention to the game. Whoever was like, because, you know, Altuve is like, don't do it when I'm at the plate, but they're like not even paying attention. It's Altuve. I mean, he's 5'4". You know when it's Altuve at the plate, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really interesting video. I watched it the other night and like had some conversations with Ty about it. Apparently, there's a lot of weird evidence. I haven't read the book. That's what, if I really want to like either hate or forgive the Astros, I think I need to read that book, because there was the guy who did the full investigative thing. Last thing though, before I have to go, I have to run to work.
Oh, no worries.
I want to say one point, because I've seen this from a few Dodgers fans. Now if there's any fan base I really freaking hate, it's the Dodgers. They're just, I mean, these people, it's like they expect it to be Christmas every single day of the year.
Bunch of Karens.
They're like, oh man, it's just so hard to repeat, you know, because when you have to play so many games. I'm like, bitch, you played 80 games last year. All right. So shut up about your players being tired because they had to play 80 games. That's not the same argument that it usually is. Yes, when your team is always in the playoffs, you play more games. I think this happened to the Warriors. You know, this has happened to other teams that have, you know, and yes, the Dodgers have been in the playoffs every goddamn year. But last year, you don't get to use last year. You do not get to use not at last all. Year.
No, you played 60 regular season games, 102 short. So don't tell me about a long season. It's not a long season.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You don't get that one. I'll give you all the other ones. You can use all the injury excuses, all the whatever, but you don't get to say, oh, man, it's just so hard to repeat when you have to play all these games. You didn't have to play a lot of games. Nobody had to play a lot of games last year. It was a weird year, and maybe you just suck. Maybe it sucks to suck sometimes. All right. Anyway, that's what I'm going to go add on. Go Giants. They're going to be amazing for the next bunch of years in a row. I'm really excited to see what happens in the offseason. I'm excited to talk about it with you guys. And there you go.
The future is bright. No doubt.
Absolutely. Everyone put your shades on. All right. All right, boys. I will see you for the next show.
All right, man.
Peace out.
Cool.
Take care. All right. That's Willie. You can follow him at Willie Dills. He's still doing streaming on Twitch and everything like that. And it brings up a good point. I've definitely started to see on social media now that they're down 3-1. Last night was a big explosion of like, well, we played more games and we have the playoff hangover from last year. And the other one is the injuries, and they start listing them out.
Oh my
and
God,
then listing out guys like Duffy and guys who are like, well, wait, he didn't even pitch for the Dodgers this year. You can't use that as an excuse. Like, what the hell are you doing? Or like, Bauer, it's like, well, I mean, he made some mistakes. What are you gonna do, right? You traded.
I mean, your Scherzer. Team signed him. Yeah, I mean, it's not
you
like
literally got Scherzer to replace Bauer. So don't give me the Bauer thing, right? It's like, come on, man. Like every team's got injuries. You know, the Giants had to deal with a ton of injuries as well. I mean, it's just part of the game. So unbelievable. But yeah, look, the Giants have a bright future ahead. There's a lot of questions, unfortunately, question marks about their rotation and parts of their infield and outfield. But I think by now it's been proven in Farhan we trust, right? I mean, we could talk to the cows come home about they should or should not sign Bryant. They should or should not go after Rizzo or someone like that. He knows more than all of us combined. He knows what combination of analytics that are most likely going to produce the most runs, the highest on-base percentage over 162 games. I mean, the dude is, it's all math. I get it, but man, he's just a whiz at it. And look what it's produced this year, 107 wins, most home runs ever, just an absolutely incredible year. And I think as Giants fans, yeah, it stings to see it end. But in reality, Eric, I mean, we're a little spoiled too. Just like Dodger fans are spoiled winning 8 in a row or being in the playoffs 10 years in a row or whatever it is. We're spoiled because every time we got to the playoffs for 3 consecutive times, we won the whole thing. 10 consecutive playoff series, the Giants won. And when they lost to the Cubs, especially after that collapse, we're like, wait a minute. What? We should be going back to Chicago for game 5 with Johnny Cueto. What happened? And it didn't make sense. And this year, 107 wins, and the Dodgers are scary, but pushing it all the way to game 5, getting the tying run on base and having the winning run at the plate, you had a feeling, man. You had a feeling like it was going to happen. And when it didn't, you're just kind of like, what is this? what is this alternate universe we're living in which the Giants don't hit a walk-off home run? Yeah, so I think that just tells you how wonderful this ride has been over the last 11 years.
I mean, our focus has changed because I'll be honest. The old Giants fan in me came out. I really handled game five really, really well. I was very, very quiet after they lost. And my wife pointed it out. She said, you kind of resigned yourself to the Giants losing before game five even started. And I'm guilty as charged. Absolutely. I did. I was certain they were going to lose because that's what the Giants have done for most of my life. The, to me, 2010 to 2014 is such an anomaly. I'm still burned by 93. I'm still burned by 87. I'm still burned by 02. I'm still burned by the 1998 wildcard game against the Cubs where Joe Carter popped out to Mark Grace to end the game. Like, I just expected it. And it was funny that my wife pointed out to me that she said, you know, you just were kind of resigned to the fact that was what was going to happen ahead of time. And she's not wrong. I kind of was. Yeah. And it's made it easier. You know, I understand being 22 years old and all you know is the Giants winning it all. And, you know, it's what you're used to. But I don't know. I'm used to pain. You know, pain's where I'm comfortable.
That's my wife always tells me, because she always like, you know, you're always assuming the worst, you know, and I do. I do the same thing you do because we are older Giants fans. I'm 47. You know, I was around. I was there in my gear. I was 14 years old when Candy Maldonado lost the ball in the lights, you know, to the Cardinals. Obviously, 89 with the earthquake reset the A's rotation. You got the pain of 93 going 103 wins. You get, you know, 97. You get 2000. I actually went to the Mets Giants playoff game in 2000 when I was at that game when JT hit the home run off of the tin and then they lost it in extras, right? You got 02. That was probably the biggest heartbreak of all. 03, the slide. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And there's been a lot of heartbreak. It was really just in 10, 12, and 14, it all came together magically for those three consecutive runs. But 16 ends the way it did. And now this, probably one of the best teams the Giants have ever had and put together on the field, just needed one extra inning or one extra hit to do it. And they just ran out of steam at the end. But, you know, kudos to the Dodgers. They were clearly about just as good as the Giants. The Giants shocked the whole world anyway, being where they were. And there were still prognosticators going out there going, oh, Dodgers are going to sweep this. Dodgers are going to win 3-1. And it ended up come down to the last at bat of game five. So, I mean, it really could have gone either way. It was that close of a series.
That's why we always want to stay out of the coin flip games, is because anything can happen in a coin flip game. And very much that's what happened in game five. And I mean, I have to give the Dodgers credit for walking off the wild card game and scoring in the ninth inning in game five. When the stakes were the highest, they stepped up. And the Giants didn't do that. And that's not to say the Giants didn't deserve to move on. They just got beat. I mean, if they play that game 100 times, the Giants probably win 50 of them. That's how close it was.
Yep.
So I don't know. I was ready for the pain. I really was. And, you know, I don't know if it's just, you know, I'm a masochist. Well, I mean, but
Logan Webb, obviously, we were hoping he pitched, you know, close to what he did in game one. And boy, did he ever. One run, that's fine. No one expected more than that. He gave one run in 14 innings or whatever it was. He was dominant, right? It's just, again, their offense. Like, if they scored four runs like in game one, boom, they win that game. No problem.
Yep.
And it just, you know, the difference really was the offense. And the Dodgers pitching kept them in check, and they just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. And any home runs they hit were always solo shots. So it just wasn't much damage. The Dodgers were like, go ahead, have your one home run. That's cool. You know, we'll manufacture more runs than that. And they did. So,
well, I was going to say real quick, circling back to us talking about Farhan, did you find it interesting that he focused on pitching when the lack of hitting was what knocked them out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think again, you know, he's not thinking about hitting in the playoffs because it's about getting there and anything can happen in the playoffs. Again, I agree in the sense of like relying on the log ball for a short series can burn you. And it did in this sense, but it can also carry you. I mean, look at what's happened with the Astros. My God. And both the Red Sox and Astros, both of them have traded blows. Obviously the Astros are up now, but it's been incredible to see that offensive show by both teams the long ball. You know, they're hitting grand slams and throwing home runs all over the place. It's insane. Yeah. I'm like, wait, two grand slams in one game? What the hell is going on here? This is crazy. I'd love to see the Giants be able to do that. And they did throughout the regular season. They hit a lot of home runs, and it just, they got neutralized by Dodgers pitching. I think maybe it's a 5 or 7 game series against a team like the Braves or the Astros or the Red Sox. The Giants do hit a few more home runs and with ones on base, but they ran into one of the best pitching staffs in the league. And that's part of what the playoffs bring. And so, I don't find it, because they don't have four starters right now. My God, they have one starter. That's a massive gap in their team right now. So he has to address that first. He has to. That's like the foundation of how well they're going to do, because if they got a staff that is giving up 5 runs a game, who cares how they're hitting? They're going to lose most of their games. So he's got to get that nailed down. But
I will say, because I know we're going to wrap here in a moment, the one thing I liked before game 5, Mookie Betts was interviewed. And he made a comment that I've never heard a player make before. He said that this is the most evenly matched, hardest season series he's ever had against any other team. And we're talking a guy that has been in Yankees-Red Sox rivalries. And to say that about the Dodgers and the Giants and how evenly matched they were, it goes to show that the Giants really did put the scare into the Dodgers, that they really, the Dodgers looked across the diamond and saw equals instead of saw somebody that was chasing them.
They did. And they said as much. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
Bellinger even said that Logan, shoved it up their butt.
And he did. He totally did. But I mean, the guy can only throw so many pitches.
Yeah.
And, but we'll get into the off season during hot stove, because this should be an interesting hot stove year. It really should. People are going to probably want to come play for the Giants at this point. You win 107 games, you're going to attract talent. So it's entirely possible. I look forward to the off season. I really do. I'm still kind of licking my wounds, and I'll probably tune into the Braves Dodgers tonight, because the chance to see the Dodgers get eliminated is just too good to pass up.
It is. And so we're all going to be rooting for the Braves and Max Fried tonight. Hopefully they just close it out in Chavez Ravine, so we don't have to stress out about the Dodgers coming back again from a 3-1 deficit. That would just be the worst. But so for as far as our podcasting schedule, it's not set right now. We'll see what happens over the next few days. We may or may not record prior to the World Series. If not, it'll be during or just after the World Series. We'll kind of wrap up the postseason and what we saw. If there's any developments with free agency and statements like that. And of course, throughout the offseason, we typically record anywhere between every 2 and 4 weeks, depending on, what happens. There are some hot weeks in December that can go pretty quickly. And then as it gets into January, it kind of slows down a little bit. But it all depends, right? They got a lot of holes to fill. Yep. So there could be quite a bit of movement this offseason. We might be coming to you a little bit more frequently than we're used to in the past. Well, that's going to do it for episode 243 of the Torture Cast. We'll be back probably in, like I said, sometime during the playoffs. So we'll let you know about it on Twitter. You can follow us there at Torture Cast, or individually at Chad K21, at 2 Out Hits for Eric with the number 2, and for Willie, who had to go to work, at Willie Dills. You can find everything at torturecast.com. And of course, we stream this live every time on Facebook Live. We might be switching over to YouTube soon, or at least before next season. We'll see where that goes. Just stay tuned for that. Eric, you got anything going on besides Giants chatter, which, by the way, has been great through the postseason too?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was first year. I'm not a big Facebook guy, and the only reason I log on to Facebook every day is to see what's going on in Giants chatter. So if you want to find knowledgeable, like-minded Giants fans and an alternative to a group that I won't name, then join Giants chatter on Facebook. Where we try to, as an admin, I help. We try to keep the discussion civil and smart. I guess that's the best way to put it. So Giants Chatter on Facebook. There's a ton of different podcasts. It's not just Torture Cast. You got the Say Hey podcast. We've got a podcast from across the pond that Charlie's involved in. We got Rizzocast with Steven Rizzotto. So, I mean, if we're your flavor of Giants, Giants Chatter is also your flavor of Giants.
Absolutely. Yeah, very simpatico there. Not a lot of drama, which is good. Nope. All right, well, that'll do it, and we'll see you sometime during the postseason. Until then, go Braves. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.